Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like the sands through Carpenter's Creek, so are the days of our Pensacola. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
In light of the recent calls for the City Council to cancel its contract with Murray and Peter Present, the producer of A Drag Queen Christmas, I want to focus on the business side of drag and the significant financial impact it brings to the city of Pensacola and surrounding area. While the current show, A Drag Queen Christmas, is on track to sell out the theater's 1,641 seats, for a sake of conservative estimate tonight, let's assume it sells 90% capacity of the theater, about 1,475 tickets at the average ticket price of $75 based on the tickets that are currently advertised for sale. Based on those 1,475 seats sold, a gross ticket sales would be generated of $110,000, again, conservatively.
I don't know that I would emphasize conservatively when talking about a drag show's benefit, but okay, fine. It's a term of economics rather than a term of culture. And so here you have one of the speakers showed up at the Pensacola City Council meeting, which I thought was great, Steve McCollum, in response, right? Because this is how civics should work. This is how discussion of democracy should work, is you had the churches and the antis showed up one week, and it's not an agenda item, so there's not a formal discussion space for this. The Sanger Theater is going to be having this performance December 23rd. Some people are very upset. Some people are buying tickets, you know. And Steve McCollum says, look, it's $100,000. And then if you add in hotels and restaurants, it's more like $250, $225. If you multiply that out, you get a half to three quarters of $1 million of economic impact all over. Shut your trap and take the money. Of course, the opponents will say, well, no, this is horrendous and blasphemous and disgusting and vulgar and well beyond being even 18 plus. It's really obscenity. We'll talk about that in a moment. But, you know, economic impact is one slice. Another is the expression slice, the First Amendment slice. Matthew, who did not identify his last name.
Born and raised in South Georgia, joined the Navy, was in for 10 years. And I want to talk about the impact of drag itself. So you guys got the numbers back there. This is a way for us to use our voice. And by canceling events like this and things that go along with that portion of people's lives, that's, you know, freedom of speech.
Yeah, this is the First Amendment argument, right? Which is what Adam Cobb, the city attorney, said the last time the church folks showed up and said, look, one, the contract, we'd be in breach of contract, we'll get sued over that, we'd lose. Number two, because we've already approved this, but ASM Global entered into an agreement with them, the Sanger entered into an agreement with them, and that's a done deal. Second, on content, First Amendment and the incorporation of the First Amendment to the states or the local municipalities, the 14th Amendment, we'd lose on expression censorship grounds. You cannot pick and choose winners and losers in a public venue on the basis of the content. If you're going to allow a Sunday church to meet, you've got to allow a Saturday the Jews to meet or the Muslims to meet or whomever. And when you pick and choose on things like that, you're going to get sued and you're going to lose. There's another issue that had come up. Actually, the church has brought it up. But I thought Sherry Myers, of all people, made sort of the I'm a woman and I find drag offensive arguments.
I think what I'm about to say is probably going to shock you. And it has to do with the Drag Queen Christmas event.
This was the previous meeting.
Now, we heard from a lot of men tonight about that. But now I want you to hear it from a woman, me. So my problem with it, and I have a lot of problems with it, is that from the perspective of a woman, I feel that drag shows, and I used to go to them, and I enjoyed them. And then I started thinking, how is it any different than, say, a black minstrel show?
Yeah, it's blackface with gender, or it's putting on Indian, Native American attire and dancing around and whooping your mouth and making fun, basically, mockery, that you're appropriating a culture, or as the phrase you sometimes hear is, my culture's not your costume.
Me, personally, as a woman, I find drag shows now very offensive. I think they're sexist. I think they're misogynistic. And I think that for the government to be involved in having a contract with an organization that is making fun of women, treating us like we are a joke, is honestly a form of discrimination based on gender.
So, you know, some drag shows or some drag performers try very, very hard to really appear to be women. Some drag show performers are complete exaggerations of everything that might possibly be female, and I'm sure that's the part that she's getting at. Very interesting argument. And in response, a guy named Eric Douglas showed up at, again, Thursday's meeting. That was at the previous meeting from Sherry Myers. Just hadn't had a chance to play that clip. I thought it was an interesting one. And then he showed up and defended drag. I'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you are on Highway 29 and, let's see here, Detroit Boulevard, we have an accident that just happened there. Seeing some delays going eastbound on Detroit as you approach Highway 29, so just be aware of that. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. And I will say, I have seen both kinds of drag performers, some that are really trying to be women, like trying to look as if they are women, and you cannot tell. And some are very good at that. And then you also have the more traditional drag show is, it's obviously men exaggerating, making almost a vaudeville act out of being this caricature, this distortion of women. Again, Eric Douglas was at last week's meeting, was one of the people who stood up and defended. And again, I think it's good that we have both sides finally show up, because when you have a non-agenda item, you're typically going to get just the one side, okay, the activist. Now you got the other side showing up and giving their view.
Some have said that drag mocks femininity, but I look at it another way. As a proud drag performer myself, drag isn't about mocking femininity. It's an art form that it celebrates it. It's a way of honoring creativity, self-expression, and the power of performance.
And that's always been my perspective, is that I thought that, you know, men who dress in drag were trying their best to be or honor or emulate. It wasn't meant to be mockery. That doesn't mean it wouldn't be taken as such, you know, by somebody like Sherry Myers or by men on behalf of women. But, you know, my wife had the same view. She's like, I just always thought they were trying to be women. They were envious of women, essentially.
The biggest mockery of Christ isn't this drag show. Any drag event or the LGBTQ+ community as a whole is blatantly shutting people out, justifying hate and discrimination. The God I serve preaches love, inclusion, and community.
You know, it's kind of an interesting sort of, like, kind of argument that Eric is making here. It sort of sounds to me very much like something Jesus said in the New Testament, which is you tithe mint and cumin, but you neglect the weightier matters of the law. You know, you object to drag shows, but do you do the real work of the gospel? Now, I've actually had a chance to talk to at least one of the pastors who was one of the key organizers in the protest against this, James C. Johnson, who you'll hear here in about 5 minutes on my show, and who I had great respect for, and I sat down and talked with him. We're friends, I would say. We prayed for each other. We like each other, you know. I think sometimes it's been said maybe about him, well, are you serving the homeless or are you serving the poor? Are you doing the other evangelism? And they are, okay, they really are. You know, and if you do the greater matters, can you also do the minor matters too? And is this a minor matter? Well, I mean, that's an issue. But, you know, there's a good note for Christians to always be sure that we're paying attention to the big things and that the most important thing is the most important thing. He talked about this and he brought up some things that I thought were very interesting.
Mr. Mayor, recently on news radio, you explained that because the city hired ASM Global as the operator of the Sanger, that you defer critiques, criticisms, and questions to them. Then you explained that individuals disappointed in Drag Queen Christmas are, quote, giving off a false presumption that the city has more authority than you actually do, end quote. So I just want to be clear, what authority does the city actually have?
And he wasn't asking, he was telling, and he says that based on his read of the contract, you do have the authority to stop this, and to pretend otherwise is a mistake.
According to the management agreement between the city and ASM Global, on page 9, it clearly states that the city hereby reserves the right to review and approve the kind and quality of events. Drag Queen Christmas is an event that is being held at the Sanger. The city does have the right to approve or by inference disapprove of any event held at the Sanger. Respectfully, Mr. Mayor, it's disingenuous for you to say otherwise.
So what is in the event? And by the way, I was thinking of this as sort of an example of drag shows that I have ever seen in the past. But James C. Johnson gave me information, and then he's going to repeat it here, that this particular show, 2 days before Christmas, and being performed in a variety of venues across the next couple of months prior to that, is much more than this and is perhaps over the line of obscenity or vulgarity or even anti-nudity statutes. Now, I will tell you, this next clip is a bit much. I've censored it, okay, which is kind of weird. I'm playing a clip of a pastor speaking at a city council meeting where I've censored it. But just because, you know, he's saying something to city councilman doesn't mean that it's okay to err on FCC rules. But you know, just out of courtesy, but it's a lot. John?
Yes, I agree.
If you got kids in the car, this is the time not to listen. Okay? But I'm actually with Pastor Johnson in this regard. I don't think you can evaluate the acceptability of this show without hearing what he's about to say, because if what he's about to say is true of this show, it will change the legal status, in my opinion, of whether this show can be allowed. So it's a key fact. Christians are often guilty of criticizing and boycotting and protesting things they don't experience for themselves. Well, what happens when the defenders haven't experienced it for ourselves, right? You know, I've been basically defending this show, saying that it's okay or allowable, even though it is, you know, obscene and, or well, not obscene, blasphemous and offensive and inappropriate, but still a First Amendment protected presentation. Anyway, here's James Johnson. Like I said, this is the part you don't want the kids to listen to, most likely.
For the record, Drag Queen Christmas is more reprehensible than was portrayed on WEAR last week. This event is much more than just men prancing around with a little bit of makeup on their face. Please understand, Drag Queen Christmas is a blatantly sexual performance. According to a video footage available online, as a part of the production, a barely clothed man wearing a Christmas red G-string turns so that his backside is toward the crowd, and he spreads open his already bare buttocks, pulling back his red G-string and offers his to the crowd. That's not art, nor is that freedom of expression. Actually, it's obscenity, and it's evil.
And in case you were wondering, he didn't swear he used the technical term, but I thought it's a bit much for a 7:30 audience. So does that change your opinion at all? Well, that sounds like it's probably over the line of obscenity, of the Miller test, of Florida and Pensacola law.
Legally speaking, Drag Queen Christmas fails what is known as the Miller test, and Attorney Cobb knows to what I'm referring. Remember, the management agreement says that the city hereby reserves the right to review and approve the kind and quality of events. So I ask you, do you approve of this type of sexual activity taking place in a taxpayer-subsidized Sanger theater? And the answer is, of course you don't approve of that, because no healthy-hearted human approves of such behavior. And as you know, lewd and lascivious behavior is prohibited by Florida Statute 798.02. In addition, the activity that I just described would be in violation of Pensacola's public nudity ordinance, which is explained in Section 8-1-17 of the Code of Ordinances.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have strip clubs except the ones that are grandfathered in. You can't make new ones. You can't have public nudity. You can't have obscenity. Although you can have a lot of things that are offensive, there is a line. Where's the line? Well, you know it when you see it. It's kind of the famous Supreme Court standard. A difficult standard to enforce, but that is the standard. So is this performance going to be over that line? Well, we haven't seen the performance yet, so you can't say. I don't know. Even if this exact show has done it like this in the past, does it mean they will do it in this case in the Sanger Theater? You can't know until they do it. It is an 18-up show. Is it obscene, pornographic? Well, again, you'd kind of have to put a couple of police officers in there, and they'd have to watch it. And then if it gets to a point where it is obscene, they'd start making arrests. It's like the Broward County Sheriff's Office and Two Live Crew back in the day, you know, like, you got to show up to the show and find them doing wrong and then arrest them for it. Because until then, it's prior restraint. You can't have that. I tend to side with Adam Cobb, who says that at this point, we can't stop it, but maybe you could punish it. Maybe they don't cross the line. And then going forward, what you do is you find a community standard or some kind of standard for shows at the Sanger. So You know, and James Johnson says, look, I'd rather have us get sued as a city for doing what's right and stopping something than being sued after the fact for having done it wrong and allowed it. There's some sense to that. So, you know me, I am a massive supporter of free speech, First Amendment, especially of things I can't stand. If this is an ordinary drag show, even one that's mocking Christmas, I can live with that under the First Amendment. If it's obscene, that's not allowed. I mean, that's illegal. Right? So which is it? Can't say till December 23rd. How do you stop it in advance? I don't know. Difficult question. I will say this. I sat down with Pastor Johnson and I talked with him about some of the perspectives that I had on this. And I noticed that he adapted his presentation, or so it seemed to me, in a couple of ways that reflected our conversation. And I always appreciate that. You know, I said, hey, I don't think you should make the point about how it's your tax dollars going to an awful thing because the pagans have tax dollars too. And he didn't use that argument anymore. I mean, I don't, he might only had 3 minutes. Maybe he picked and chose. But I give him the benefit of the doubt. Again, he seems like a very smart guy, a good Christian, and he's trying to do what's right for the community. 437-1620. I'll get your text here in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still dealing with the accident that happened on Highway 29 and Detroit Boulevard. We're seeing delays on Highway 29. And if you're on I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, expect about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area. Other than that, we're looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. We've got one person text. Approve it before the contract is signed, maybe. Also, no one's being forced to go, but afterwards, you know, is kind of a challenge. Also, nobody's accidentally going to see it. Somebody says, as a libertarian-leaning conservative, I couldn't care less about drag shows, but I don't think the Sanger is an appropriate venue for open display of one's nethers. Somebody says, no, yeah, that's not it. Let's see. 437-1620. I thought there was one more that I wanted. Oh, yeah. With the same people push back against Rocky Horror Picture Show and its in-person event. Yeah, no, there's lots of consistency questions here. And is this the most important thing? I agree with that. But anyway, those are some of the texts. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Did you know that the displaying of the Ten Commandments in our public schools was outlawed in large part because of a 1980 Supreme Court decision known as Stone versus Graham? And because of this extraction, most Americans are not familiar with the specific content of the Ten Commandments. I encourage you to read Exodus chapter 20. These commandments serve as a divine blueprint for a civilized society. Exodus chapter 20, verse number 1, God makes it very clear that these commandments came from Him and not from Moses or from any man. And the only man who ever walked the earth who kept the commandments flawlessly was Jesus of Nazareth, the God-man himself. As we endeavor to be submissive to these commandments, we must rely completely on Christ's power to overcome sin and temptation. I urge you, walk with Jesus today.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
It all comes down to this, folks.
Yep, the entire season is on the line.
But my throat has officially thrown in the towel.
Sounds like you need Vicks VapoCool drops. They're max strength, hand vaporized sore throat pain.
Whoa! These VapoCool drops hit fast!
Speaking of fast, did you just see that play?
Yeah, he vaporized that ball.
That pun should have come with a penalty.
Vaporize sore throat pain with Vicks VapoCool drops. Use as directed.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSEA Chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 when Brittany Hughes from Parks and Recreation will be on the show. She'll be discussing summer camps, where they're located, the cost, and how you can apply for a scholarship for your child to attend. She'll also cover deadlines to register, how to register, and will be available for you to call or text in with your questions during the show.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2. Right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Oh, this is not happening.
Good morning, 7:29 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
Good morning. President Trump is scheduled to talk with Republican and Democrat congressional leaders today as the deadline to avoid a government shutdown is approaching. Of course, a stopgap funding bill, which House Speaker Mike Johnson has said he does support, would keep the government from shutting down this week as funding is set to expire tomorrow.
The picture I have in my head of Congress and the White House is of a bunch of four-year-old kids and an old coffee can and them just running down the road. Kick it! Kick it! Kick it!
Accurate.
Kick it! Oh, no, it's a crisis. Kick that can!
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The grim job for authorities this morning at a burned-out church in Grand Blanc, Michigan. Fox's Brooke Taylor is there.
Police say there are still people unaccounted for. They're digging through the church debris to find more victims. The shooter, identified as 40-year-old Thomas Jacob Sanford from Michigan. He was killed in a shootout with officers just minutes later. He was a Marine and served from 2004 to 2008 with deployments to Iraq.
Authorities say the suspect drove his truck into the front of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, started shooting, and then set fire to the House of Worship. President Trump will meet with the top four leaders in Congress today. Republicans at odds with Democrats over a plan to keep the government funded until November 21st. The deadline is tomorrow night. And President Trump will also meet with his Israeli counterpart today to discuss the peace plan that's on the table to end the war in Gaza. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 69 degrees and sunny skies this morning in Pensacola. Of course, we've got our forecast with Brooke Richardson. We'll get to that in just a few minutes. A 35-year-old man has died in a crash involving a semi-truck early on Sunday morning. That happened on County Road 196 as it entered Highway 29. FHP says the man ran the stop sign and entered the path of a southbound semi. The driver of the pickup truck died at Sacred Heart Hospital in Pensacola. A cantonment man facing a felony DUI charge after a head-on crash last week with a BAC level that officials say was nearly four times the legal limit. Officials say that 59-year-old James Reber Holder was driving the wrong way on East Olive Road when he struck another vehicle. Witnesses reportedly identified him as being the driver. Holder's BAC was measured at .310. That led to charges including a felony DUI and tampering with an interlock device. Holder had two prior DUI convictions, making this incident a third-degree felony. Holder was arrested and released on $5,000 bond. Well, later this week, Pensacola residents can sign up for a resident parking permit to get a discount on a city-owned parking space. The permits will be available starting October 1st. Residents with a permit will get 50% off on any city-owned parking space. You'd still pay using the Park mobile app. And senior citizens 65 plus are eligible for the senior pass.
Ages 65 and up will be only $10 a month. And not only will they be able to park anywhere they like in city-owned spaces in the city, but you'll also be able to not even have to get your app out. You'll be able to park based on your license plate.
And both parking permits will require verification of residency. Permits would be tied to the license plate, as you heard Mayor D.C. Reeves there saying. Information on parking permits is available online at the city's parking website, parkpensacola.com. Pensacola activist Reverend John Powell is going to be honored with a street designation in the Belmont DeVillers area. He passed away back in July. A portion of Belmont Street between DeVillers and Roos will be named in his honor, pending council approval later next month. Friends praised Powell's dedication to helping others, particularly kids. They described him as the go-to person in the community. At an event commemorating the street naming is scheduled November 1st at noon. Now, Charlie Kirk could be honored in Pinellas County. Clearwater City Councilmember Ryan Cotton is planning to introduce legislation today, or a resolution, that is, to rename Court Street as Charlie Kirk Way there in Clearwater. Cotton tells Tampa Bay 28 that honoring Kirk would be a way to honor free speech, open and honest debate, and the courage to hear everybody equally. Meanwhile, a Broward County social studies teacher has been reassigned for comments he made following Kirk's death. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis says he wants the state to cut ties with the American Bar Association. That's what he wrote on X yesterday, but that would be up to the Florida Supreme Court to make that change. Governor DeSantis did say that the Texas Supreme Court just did something similar along those lines. It's 7:35 at News Radio, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 through that construction zone, we're seeing some major delays there. Also, I-10 westbound as you approach going toward I-110, traffic is down to one lane due to that construction. Davis Highway southbound headed toward Olive Road, seeing some major delays. Also, Highway 90 southbound as you approach the scenic 9 Mile split right there, experience about a 7 to 9 minute delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We are going to have a beautiful day today. Mostly sunny skies, high near 89 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. For Tuesday, nice sunny weather again, high near 88. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Wednesday, a small 10% chance of a stray sprinkle. Otherwise, mostly sunny, high near 86. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. Second Echo, Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 75 right now. We've got mostly sunny skies here in Pensacola this morning. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Franco-Italian carmaker Stellantis said it has appointed Joao Laranjo as chief financial officer effective immediately. Brazilian national Laranjo succeeds Doug Osterman, who resigned for personal reasons. Reuters reports OPEC Plus will likely approve another oil production increase of at least 137,000 barrels per day at its next meeting, as rising oil prices encourage the group to try to further regain market share. OPEC Plus has reversed its strategy of output cuts from April and has already raised quotas by more than 2.5 million barrels per day. Toyota Motor said its global sales grew for an eighth straight month in August, as continuing strong demand for some of its hybrid models in the U.S. offset a weaker performance in Japan. The automaker's worldwide sales increased 2.2% year over year in August, helped by a 13.6% jump in the U.S. Futures are moderately higher. Friday, the Dow Industrials gained 299. That's Your Money Now.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. They'll be discussing Atlas Beverage Class, Jazz at Jackson's, Fall and Winter Menus, Fall Harvest Dinner, a Great Southern Dinner, Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving Grab and Go, all Wednesday at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, well, I'm a chicken fried and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and a radio.
Good morning, 7:40 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Oh, I'm going to tell you a vignette about Congressman Jimmy Petronas that, you'll see. So I'm talking with him off the air, and I had asked him. Actually, let's go ahead and bring him on. Hey, Jimmy, you there, sir?
I am. All right. Go ahead.
We were talking off the air, and I did not know the answer to the question. So I asked you what your alma mater. You said FSU. I'm like, I'm so sorry about Friday night. And he's like, yeah, you brought that up on purpose. I'm like, I didn't. I really didn't know. And I'm like, I'm, you know, Auburn and went adopted and went to Illinois. And he said, Illinois, huh? How'd Indiana do for you? And I'm like, fair enough. Why you got to bring that up? Fair enough. But I love that. I love that. You would know the horribly embarrassing outcome of a game for my school from last week. That's pretty impressive. So well done. Kudos to you. In amongst all the other things you got to pay attention to. Okay, so the government shut down Hokey Pokey. I feel like, my God, every time it feels like to me, we go through this, they want this, we want this, they're to blame, and then we do some kind of continuing resolution or some stopgap measure, and for another 6 months, we all just, we stop talking about it, and then we do it again. That's how it feels to me. Also, it feels a little different this time with threatening specific job cuts and all that kind of stuff. So you tell me, you're on the inside of this thing. What are you seeing? What's going on?
Well, I see that Schumer definitely caught a lot of heat when he worked with Republicans back in the spring to do this exact same process. The speaker's committed to doing a structured appropriations bill process, and he wants to get the stopgap accomplished now so that we, between now and November 21st, we do exactly that. Well, Schumer now is doubling down to his base. He's getting ravaged by the AOCs and this far left wing to not be so embracing of working with Republicans. So now, I mean, and you got Mondami, who is now becoming this figurehead of the Democratic Party. Schumer, I don't believe, has endorsed Mondami yet. I mean, it's just really a nasty family food fight amongst the Democrats. And all I want to do is get to work. You know what I mean? So they've got to throw out the most far left reaching policies and ideas out there to try to save their own political house. That to me is an inferno.
It seems to me, again, I deliberately don't pay a lot of attention to the government shutdown Hokey Pokey because it always seems to, it just seems to not really resolve long term. But it seems to me like the main issue here, if there is a main issue, is Republicans want the big, beautiful bill and the funding for it. And Democrats want the Obama era, you know, tax credits and all of that and the money that comes with that. Is that basically it, or is there more to it than that? And how much are we talking about in terms of a difference of opinion here?
I think the biggest is they want to get the Medicaid dollars back where they were. They want to be able to play in the space of clawing back dollars for giving Medicaid dollars to illegals. You know, and it's so crazy what we provide to an illegal citizen that we don't even make available to somebody who's a citizen of the United States. I mean, we got to get our policies back in order, and these radicals that are just right now teetering on the brink of making their arguments. You know, I really wish, and we've got a few in our own party that are really their purists, and it makes it hard to try to bring some of this stuff in for a landing. I get frustrated, and of course they've thrown PBS back in there. They want funding for PBS. It's just become a really an unfortunate battle, and and we look ridiculous. We really do.
So it's just the, you know, all the stuff that got taken out of the backpack. We want everything back in the backpack because, hey, if we're going to squabble, let's squabble about everything and pretend like we've made no progress already. Is that kind of how you see it?
Yeah, they want everything back in the backpack. Of course, all the things that we champion with no tax on tips, no tax on overtime, of course, they want to leave all that in there. So now they realize, and that may be the other part of it, is they realize they voted against something that is popular with a lot of people. So now they got to figure out how to save face, too. So it's pretty comical.
Well, if saving face only cost you $1 trillion or so, I mean, what's the big deal?
I apologize that this is what we're doing. But we got a call with a speaker in short order right here where he's going to give us an update. He's supposed to be sitting down with the president today to hopefully bring this all in firm landing. There's a lot of moving parts. Netanyahu was supposed to go to the White House today.
Right.
You got the president supposed to meet all of it with the generals of Hegseth. I mean, it's a busy day for the Trump administration.
I mean, it's no big deal. Just solve the Middle East and domestic financial disagreements. It's fine. It's, you know, it's an easy day. You know,
and Russia just hit Ukraine with 60 drone strike.
Yeah.
I mean, this is and they were just interviewing a Russian on TV who's on a motorcycle parade, and he says, "It sucks. I have to wait years to get a imported motorcycle." Now, Russia is so big that, you know, Moscow proper doesn't even feel what's going on in this either. So,
yeah. We're talking to Jimmy Petronas. He's our congressman for District 1, Northwest Florida. Jimmy, hang on for just a second. Let's get John in here with traffic on the fives.
That's right. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29 through that construction zone, seeing about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach 9 Mile Road, we're seeing some major delays in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Jimmy Petronas, our congressman. Speaking of things that President Trump is doing, now his name has been added to tomorrow's big gathering. You know, Pete Hegseth, Secretary of, well, I guess, do we say Secretary of War now? I guess we do. Anyway, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of War,
yes, you do.
The SOD or the SOW. Either way, it's not a good acronym. he's gonna bring together all of the one stars and up, and now Trump is going to be involved in this. Is this about shedding upper echelon personnel, which is something Pete Hegseth has said is a priority? Is this about something bigger? I mean, are we talking about like national war plans? What's your read on this situation?
I think a number of things. I think one, you need to start with an example of leadership with encouragement, expectations, you know, so readiness for our troops, you know, the fights ahead. So I think the president also probably wants to have a meeting where they hear his expectations from his mouth. And if those expectations do not start to evolve and materialize, then he's going to have a total, you know, fallback position of where he's going to start, you know, shedding these guys and changing out leadership. So I think this is just simply one of those. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna show you how much I respect you. I'm gonna show you what my expectations are, and if you're not gonna do what I ask you to do as our goal, as an effort, then we're gonna ask you to retire. So I'm thinking it's probably all of the above.
Okay, so this is a tone setting and hey, you know, all the senior management needs to be on board with what we're doing right now, and if you can't be, you need to find occupation elsewhere. Okay, I mean I can see how that would be. I mean, that's productive management,
it's
right?
It's an opportunity for all these guys. And if they have not spent any time chatting with Hegseth, this will be their opportunity to bring everybody in to have that visit with Hegseth, and the same thing with the president. So, I mean, this is good for engagement to actually put people eyeball to eyeball with their superiors of all levels. So,
I was curious to get your take, since you are a congressman, you're our closest connection to what's going on in D.C., you know, Trump and the Department of Justice don't work for you, but obviously you see the things that happen. The indictment of former FBI Director Jim Comey, grand jury, okay? And yet, even when justified, you know, it has the feel of political retaliation. Of course, the critics say it's absolutely what it is. And of course, Trump says, well, hell, you've been doing that to me my whole life. And also, it's really bad. He lied. Your read on this situation, your thoughts?
I think a number of these developments are probably forced into the spotlight and acting upon them probably because of the statute of limitations. So you know, this is right at the 5 year. You know, I'm not an investigator, but everything on the surface you know, I always say when there's that much smoke, there's going to be some fire. I think Comey's done some stupid stuff. You know, I think he also has tried to be cute with some of his, you know, snarky posts that unfortunately snarky posts are threats that yeah. ultimately could be arrested for. So he's just being dumb. So, I mean, you know what? You keep on playing dumb games. Unfortunately, you're going to win dumb prizes. And I think, you know, now this is put before a grand jury, which is basically a box of people that should not have an opinion. They're being explained the set of circumstances of what, you know, Comey has done. And yeah, they've agreed to an indictment. So, you know, watch what you wish for, dude. This thing's, it's on now.
You know, I'll tell you the one that it makes me think of, and it has bothered me for years, that the then director of national yeah. intelligence under Obama, Jim Clapper, lied to the face of Ron Wyden in the Senate panel about the existence of the NSA metadata program that was gathering information on, you know, Americans and journalists and everybody. And he said it did not exist to his face. I mean, he lied to the Senate. And I mean, he could have bowed out or said, you know, classified, or, you know, I'll talk to you in private, but he didn't. He lied to the Senate, and nothing ever happened because of that I know of. And I mean, that may be beyond the reach right now, but I mean, I want liars and the government punished, you know? And I mean, that would have been a case where yeah. Whatever you want to do to him, I'm good. You know, do anything to him. He deserves it.
Well, it sounds like you're in agreement then on what's going on with Comey, because it, you know, by all indications, he was not being forthright with his comment to Congress. And you know what? An investigation will just get to the bottom of it. But again, I mean, that's why I refuse to lie. Because when you start lying, you got to keep up the lies.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people all the time, you may not like what I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to shoot straight with you. I'm going to tell you the truth. And this is where it is right now. Now, could it change 2 days later, 3 days later? Absolutely. As more and more we start facing the truth, you have to, you know, able to, if it's really going to be this outcome, let's work on changing it. And that's a lot of times what happens. People just have to come to grips that we've got a tough job in Washington, D.C., and the public deserves the better. They really do.
I will tell you, for my own part, I have a hard enough time remembering all the truth. Just to tell that. I don't know how these people do it when they make up lies and tell things. And how I've always actually, I've said this before, but I have a weird kind of admiration for liars, because it looks so impossibly hard to me to be good at it. And I'm amazed that people manage to pull it off. It's bizarre. I mean, I'm glad I can't, because anyway. Last thing I want to ask you about, Jimmy, is this incident in Michigan where you had this guy drives his truck into a Latter-day Saints service. He sets the place on fire. He starts shooting people. I mean, it's 5 people dead so far, and I'm sure that number is going to be higher when we get all said and done. I am very reluctant to be drawn to these are all against conservatives. These are all against religious people. These are all against, but I will tell you, it seems like that is the pattern when it's political or speech related. The attacks aren't going the other way.
No, and the incident in Michigan, it was terrible. I mean, everything was premeditated. And it was an accelerant that was already on the ground. And as he drove the truck into the church, then he was out there with his, you know, rifle just shooting people as they fled from the church. I mean, this is a sick dude. You know, how do you go after, you know, people in the place of worship as a soft target with these folks? You know, really just trying to be grateful for what they've, you know, had to come to assemble for. And you know, just it breaks my heart, especially for those families and how they're dealing with their loss of their loved ones. But, you know, I don't want to create an environment where we're, you know, doing surveillance on our own citizens. But you've got some folks out there that are really, really creating problems.
You know, the other part of this, and I don't know how much you care to say on the subject or not, but, you know, some of the things that we see happening, I just think that the mental health and political framework and just the cultural language we have to talk about them is inadequate. As a Christian, you know, I believe that there are spiritual forces, right? There's angels, there's demons, there's God, there's Satan, there's, you know, lots of stuff going on.
Right.
And when I see some of these things, I think, I just don't think you can explain this as some psychiatric break or just some character flaw. You know, I mean, this looks like demonic activity to me. And, you know, especially when you see some of these people and they do these horrible things, and it's like all of a sudden they realize that it's wrong and they take their own life. Not in this case necessarily, but, you know, often. And I think, well, I mean, it just that seems to fit a profile like that. And I feel like maybe we're not doing enough to be honest about how we just don't have the language to talk about these things in secular terms.
No, look, I'm a big believer in doing postmortems on all this stuff, but yeah. I guarantee you this twisted dude, you know, I bet you his social media activity of what he was looking at and how he's being indoctrinated, you know, created the demons that were haunting him, that were driving him to do this. So however we profile it, you know, I do believe in demons. I do believe that there's angels that look out for us and protect us from harm. I look at how many times I've been blessed with, you know, good fortune. But this guy, I guarantee you, where there's that much smoke, there's going to be fire. And his source of his nasty direction in life, he decided to take himself, is hateful. You know, it's all going to be tied back to his social media feed. This guy was poisoning himself every day with this device in his hand of content that really is it should be illegal.
It's defiling and, you know, horrific. And I would be very surprised if that doesn't turn out to be true. Jimmy Petronas, our congressman from Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time. I hope the call goes well. I hope we manage to, you know, figure out all these big problems, because Lord knows we need to figure them out. But again, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week, sir.
Yep, I'll have more updates for you. Take care.
Excellent. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives.
Yes, let's see here. I-10 westbound from about the 9th Avenue Bridge all the way through to I-110. Traffic is backed up pretty bad there due to that construction. Also, Davis Highway southbound approaching Olive Road, there's about a 10 to 12 minute delay. And I-10 eastbound right around the Pine Forest area going through Highway 29. Seeing some more delays through that construction zone. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Fans on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Bring a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands.
And I'm on the stage cooking and smoking.
This week it's Brandon Giles coming to the Gulfside Pavilion. He's a self-taught pianist by the age of 12, and he would describe it as Little Richard meets Kid Rock on steroids. You get it all at Bands on the Beach. No pets, no glass.
Join Teddy Chartel from Affordable Automotive Gulf Breeze for car care tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Kenny will be sharing his years of expertise on car maintenance, as well as tips and loads of great advice that'll keep your car running in top shape. Whether foreign or domestic, don't miss car care tomorrow at 10:30 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Doug, please, just tell me what you want.
I want pizza.
That's right, Steve. 7:58 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Doctors Without Borders says they're pulling out of Gaza City over the risk to healthcare workers as the Israeli offensive continues against Hamas. The organization said that airstrikes were being carried out less than a half a mile from where they were operating. An emergency coordinator for the organization said that their withdrawal was the last thing that they wanted to do.
Such respect for Doctors Without Borders. What they do is amazing work. It really, I mean, it's, absolutely. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Negotiations continue in the ongoing Boeing strike today. Union officials say a federal mediator will be joining their negotiations. Four people now have organs from a New York City boy who was shot last week outside of a Dunkin' Donuts. Another 13-year-old that received the heart of Sanjay Samuel. A 15-year-old got his liver, and two adults got his lungs. The teens that killed the boy remain behind bars.
Well, I mean, it's a horrible thing that happened, but it's a beautiful thing that happened as a result of the horrible thing that happened. Modern medicine is, I mean, genuinely amazing, some of the things that can be done. And as, you know, we talk about AI, it's the worst now that it's ever going to be. You know, like, it's going to only get better. Same thing for modern medicine. It's as incompetent now as it's ever going to be. There will be things in the future that will be even more amazing. News every